So we should be able to cover this in one class period. And depending on our time, we might look at something concerning some of these kings and some of the dates that they reigned. I know some of y'all are putting that information on your charts. And there was one that I came across that we're only going to see two verses about this guy. So, but I'll say more about that if and when we're able to tackle that. But lesson three is covering 1 Kings chapter 16. We're covering just chapter 16. And so that's not a large amount of material. But we're going to see in this short book that there's going to be some new kings that are introduced in this chapter. And we just don't have a whole lot of information on them. There's, besides the two kings from the previous chapter, this chapter is going to cover about four new kings and five if you count Ahab. But we won't really say much on him in this chapter. So we're still looking at the time that is during when Baasha is king of Israel and Asa is the king of Judah. So I put on the lesson. I said, who did the word of the Lord come to? What do we see in chapter 16? Okay. Jehu, the son of... yeah, that one. Because as I've mentioned, I'm already having some issues pronouncing some names. And then Steve was showing me an app where we were looking at some of the names. And some of them are even different than the way he pronounces some of them. So it's going to get real confusing. As long as we know who we're talking about here, we're going to follow along in these chapters. And we'll see who we're talking about. But I will attempt to maybe pronounce them in a way that y'all are used to hearing. So we see that the word of the Lord came to Jehu. And who was the word against? What did he have to say? Baasha. Okay. So it was against King Baasha. So let's just read in chapter 16, starting in verse 1. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, inasmuch as I exalted you from the dust and made you leader over my people Israel, and you have walked in the way of Jeroboam, and have made my people Israel sin, provoking me to anger with their sins. In verse 3, behold, I will consume Baasha and his house, and I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So, we see that the Lord uses Baasha, and that was to end the dynasty of Jeroboam, because of the disobedience. Jeroboam's disobedience. But now Baasha is disobedient as well. And we're going to see that the Lord will destroy his house or his dynasty. So that will be taken care of as well. So verse 3, that this tells us that this will begin against Baasha's house, as we just said, or his dynasty. So in verse 4, it says, anyone of Baasha who dies in the city, the dogs will eat, and anyone of his who dies in the field, the birds of the heavens will eat. So this idea of just being destroyed. Now the rest of the acts of Baasha and what he did and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And we've mentioned a lot about that type of terminology. So, and again, I didn't know somebody had a comment. If y'all have anything, just stop me, because I'm not looking up all the time. I'm reading, so just get my attention. So, when we look at verse 2, what is it saying? What idea is it saying? It says that I exalted you from the dust. So it's the idea of you were nothing. And God exalts him. And so basically he makes him something. Makes him, allows him to be the leader over Israel. But what does he do with this? We see an ongoing issue that's been happening. We see it over and over and over. And it's hard to comprehend in the sense that these people have seen all kinds of things. Some of these kings know that the only reason they are king is because God allowed them to be so. So why don't they serve this God? They don't. We see this idea or this problem with idolatry over and over, and the things that they will worship. And maybe we'll say a little bit more about that as we go a little bit further. But we see here that Baasha slept with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah, and Elah, his son, became king in his place. And I'm showing that this is around, those of y'all putting dates, I'm showing around 886 B.C. is what I'm coming up with. So somewhere in that ballpark. Now, when we jump over to verse 8, it says, in the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, Elah, the son of Baasha, became king over Israel in Tirzah. And it says that he reigned 2 years. And I put a question on here. Who does it say killed this king, Elah? Okay, Zimri. So Zimri killed him, and who was Zimri to him? Okay, so it states it's one of it. It's a servant. It's a commander of what was it? Half his chariots. So what year? And this is one of the questions I put on there. What year of reign was it for Asa, king of Judah, when this guy died, when Eli died? 26? Okay, I'm showing 27th, but I could have. Yeah. Yeah, so the 27th year of reign for Asa when he died. Any comments or disagreements or okay. All right. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. What's the question? I'll try to answer it if I can. What? Oh, the amount of year? Let me see. I believe the text said 27. What was that? That was in, let me look real quick. Conspired against him. Yes, okay. Thank you, Miss Linda. So it was in verse 16:10. It does say then Zimri went and struck him and put him to death in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah. And then Zimri became king in his place. So, 27 year. We're going to write 1 Kings 16. I usually put the scripture there too, but I didn't in this case. For me. Okay, so we're looking at 16:10 there. And let's look at verse 9. We'll read 9 and 10. It said, and his servant, Zimri, or Zimri as the app says, commander of half his chariots, conspired against him. Now he was at Tirzah drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, who was over the household of Tirzah. And then we see in verse 10, then Zimri went in and struck him and put him to death in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and became king in his place. So Zimri becomes king in Elah's place. And I also asked the question, why did Zimri kill all the house of Baasha as soon as he became the king? What's the advantage of doing that? Why would he do that? Go ahead, first, Keith.
The idea of killing everybody, I mean, it didn't fulfill prophecy, but so nobody would seek retribution. It would be vengeance or revenge.
Yeah.
If you destroy that household, there's nobody to come get you.
Right. So you kill that household, that dynasty, it's protection, and you've ended what you wanted to, and like Alex says, and then that's, you know, that's what the Lord said. So this was the will of the Lord. In verse 11, it says, and it came about when he became king, as soon as he sat on his throne, that he killed all the household of Baasha. He did not leave a single male, neither his relatives nor his friends. Like Keith was mentioning, that way there's no threat. You know, you're eliminating all of that, and you're killing that dynasty. And it says, thus Zimri destroyed all the household of Baasha. Then important point, like Alex was stating, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke against Baasha through Jehu, the prophet. And then verse 13, for all they made Israel sin, provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. here this idea that they, just a little bit ago we were talking about I mentioned the idea of this idolatry. Okay, we see this issue that is angering, deserves for them to be following his commandments. But, and he's already, like I said a few minutes ago, he's already proven who he is. Looking at this kings, we see the interaction with them. When you're looking throughout these books that we're looking at an idea about Kings and Chronicles, we're looking at all of this to get maybe some time periods, some other things going on with other nations. But throughout this, we see how it's inserted, if you will, with the prophets. So we see these prophets inserted. I would agree. He's patient, but also in a sense, when I think about where we started from the beginning of this, and we'll go ahead and mention some of this too. Why was the decision? It was with Solomon, right? And what caused this? What was he doing? Where did he get this? He's the Lord. Okay, and where did he get this? Okay, so we see there's warnings. He doesn't listen. The wisest man in the world, he doesn't listen to logic. Well, more than logic, to God. And he does this and gets trapped up in this idolatry. And then now we have this divided kingdom. And when you look back in, what's that, chapter 1 Kings 11, let's discuss in one of the terms that we saw in 1 Kings 15. When in 15:3, when it talked about being wholly devoted to the Lord, if we think about where we started in this sense, going back all the way to 1 Kings chapter 11. In chapter 11, there we go. What we just mentioned, we see in verse 2. It said, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, you shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart away after other gods. And Solomon fell or held fast to these in love, and that's what took place. So, when it's talking about his heart, we're going to see here that it's contrasting a heart that follows these other gods, idolatry, or the one that follows the true God or serving the Lord. So in verse 4, it says, for when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away from other gods. Wives turned his heart away after other gods. I knew I read that wrong. And his heart was not wholly devoted, there's our term again, wholly devoted to the Lord, his God, as the heart of David, his father, had been. And then it explains what it's talking about when it goes into the next part of the verse. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, and the detestable idol of the Ammonites, and so on. So we get the idea. Instead of being like his father David, that it states his father David's heart was right. Then we'll go over to 15:3 and we'll bring up that thought again. 1 Kings 15:3. Again, your term, wholly devoted. And then, like the heart, it's going to explain. But for David's sake, the Lord his God gave... Well, let's jump down verse 5. Because David did what was right in the sight of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded. Well, wait a minute. Don't we know something else about David? Is that true? You in the text except. Yes, ma'am. So when we continue in the text, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. Yet 15:3 says he's wholly devoted. So we know now it doesn't mean that he doesn't make mistakes. It means the God that he was trusting in. He wasn't trusting in the other gods like we saw with Solomon, the idolatry and stuff. He was trusting in the one true God. So I just wanted, I know the last class I didn't cover that very well. Sometimes the brain goes off, but so I hope that helps some with that part of it. But that's an ongoing thing we're going to see in all these different verses, in the different kings, and the things we're going to run into. Now, there's going to be some good ones. We'll see some as far as there are some, and they're going to be in the line of the king of Judah. But we're going to see a lot of things that aren't good. So just keep that in mind. I hope that helps some. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Power, it's pride. And then he set up all these altars. Yes. Okay.
That he wasn't according to the word of the Lord. It's just that it happened because God said it would. So it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was evil too, and he only served 7 days. And
right.
So, you know, it was murder. These kings went in and killed everybody, except their family. They didn't want anybody to live. And it continues to all the way through the kingdom. And even another king goes in and kills all of them.
Mm hmm. We'll get to it. Yes, ma'am. So we see, because just even already in this short period of time, we've seen some dynasties already get stopped. And as Miss Linda was saying, you know, this idea with Jeroboam, because when he was giving this opportunity, same kind of thing. He was nothing. The Lord allowed him to be king. And I say he was not from any lineage that made it why he was king. It was because of the Lord. And he becomes king, and he doesn't do what was mentioned in verse 12, or chapter 12, sorry. And he doesn't do these things because the Lord tells him, if you do this, then I forgot the exact terminology, I'll prosper your house, or, let me see, that's chapter 12. No. Sorry, chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 38, it says, then it will be that if you listen to all that I command you and walk in my ways and do what is right in my sight by observing my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you. I will build you an enduring house, as I built for David. So he's going to allow him the opportunity to have a dynasty if he will yet follow the Lord. So then we get into the thing that Mark was bringing up. Yes, God is, did you say patient? So yes, God is patient. But I think in these instances, because we have to remember behind the scenes, it's going to be within the line of David. But again, God uses people in the way that he knows they're going to do things. We know God already knows what's going to take place here. So he allows these things to take place, and it works all within his plan. So just keeping all of those things in mind, how these things work together. So, let's see, where were we? Sorry, I got a little off. But we saw here 27th year, we read that, okay. And we looked at why Zimri killed all of the house of Baasha to destroy that dynasty. There's not going to be anyone else in that line. That was according to the Lord in verse 12, 1 Kings 16, 12, that in which he spoke against Baasha through Jehu the prophet. Verse 12 states that. And then for all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Eli. So we looked at all of that. So now you have Zimri. One of the questions I put over here, and some of this is going to help with, if we have time, the thing I want to bring up. Zimri became king of Israel in what year of Asa, king of Judah's reign? What year was that? 27th year, okay. Did I put that on there? Okay. And how long did he reign? That's right. 7 days. Whew, that is a long reign, wasn't it? So in verse 15, it says, in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri reigned 7 days in Tirzah. Now the people were camped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. And the people who were camped heard it said Zimri has conspired and has also struck down the king. Therefore, all Israel made Omri the commander of the army. Now, we're going to see this brought up in about three different places. So we'll just in a row almost. So therefore, all of Israel made Omri the commander of the army king over Israel that day in the camp. So, and then verse 17, then Omri and all Israel with him went up from Gibbethon, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came about when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the citadel of the king's house and burned the king's house over him with fire, and he died. Verse 19, because of the sins which he sinned, doing evil in the sight of the Lord, walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he did, making Israel sin. Again, this idea of how these leaders were making Israel sin. That is, they were sinning. They weren't being obedient to God and their example and the things they were setting up and following that caused sin in Israel. So what was Omri before he became king? Okay, so he was a commander of the army. We see some of these commanders and stuff start coming up, taking over as king. And how does it say that he became king, or who chose him? Okay, the people, Israel, they chose him as king. But because of what was taking place, why did his reign end so soon, or how did it end? What did he do? Is it suicide? Okay. Yeah, so he basically, it says when he saw that the city was taken, he went into the king's house and burned the king's house over him with fire. So he pretty much took his life. That was his way out of that situation, I guess, in his mind. So why were the people of Israel divided into two parts? Okay, yes, ma'am. That's exactly right. Let's see. What verse am I looking for? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. It says, then the people of Israel were divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king. The other half followed Omri. So that's another verse. We already looked at 16, called him king. 21, king. Calls him king there. But the people who followed Omri prevailed over the people who followed Tibni and the son of Ginath. And Tibni died, and Omri became king. So again, we're going to see stated as king, but now it gives us a time stamp. In verse 23, it says that Omri, in the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, Omri became king over Israel. And that's going to give us some more information. So if you're writing it on your chart, so he becomes king in the 31st year of Asa. He reigns 12 years. And then it makes a statement that six of these years, he reigned at Tirzah. So when you're looking at the, how much time do I have? Okay. When we are looking at trying to figure out some of these times, on Tibni, there's just not a lot about him. I saw two verses. So it doesn't really state much on his time. But we do have some time stamps that might give us a little idea of what's going on. Let's, in verse 23, just to consider something, and I don't know, I'm trying to figure out some dates because it does not give us any dates, but he did reign. It doesn't say for how long, but it states some other things that are time stamps. So possibly is that time stamp somewhere in this idea where it brought up that the other king reigned in Tirzah? Now, I don't think it was for those whole 6 years, but it's a possibility. Time stamps. It said that we know that Zimri becomes king in the 27th year of Asa. So we're going to say about, my math, that's about 885. Now remember, when we're doing some of these years, we could be off, or mathematically it might seem that you're off by a year, but that's going to, keep in mind, it depends on the month. So that's what's going to determine if when you say 12 years or something like that, when you add up the years together, keep that part in mind too. So we might be off a year or so. But Zimri becomes king in the 27th year. So I'm going to say 885. And so it says that he's only king for 7 days. That being said, when did the other guys become king? Okay. Real good possibility. Okay. So let's go with that. We'll say 885. We see now it states in 1623 that Omri becomes the king in the 31st year of Asa. Let me get my other notes out here. Yes, sir. And 4 years is actually the time that I'm coming up. I'm suggesting. I don't, like I said, it doesn't say more than these two verses about the guy. But when you look at the time stamps and you're figuring the times kind of add up. And then it's possible within these 4 years or so that's when this guy reigned. And like I said, I don't know. I'm just saying these are things that we can consider when we look at these dates. So Omri becomes king in the 31st year of Asa. So again, this is this where I would say 881, and I know when you add that to 885, that's not necessarily a whole 5 years. But from other things I've come up with, that's around what I'm coming up with his years, 881. And he reigns 12 years. So we see that Ahab, his son, becomes king in the 38th year. So that's going to be around 874. So if you use that date when you're adding everything up, it still shows these 12 years. And I'm getting some looks. I'm trying not to confuse everybody. It's just when I was looking at some of the time stamps, and like I said, it doesn't state a date. So it's not a big deal as far as what you come up with. I'm just thinking of some thoughts when it comes to the dates. Uh-huh. Doing some of that. And like I said, remember when you do some of the subtraction, because it's the same with some of the other kings we looked at. When you do some of the subtraction, when you say, like in this case, 12 years, and you look at the dates, you might say, well, that's only 11. Well, But it depends on the month. So, and again, unless it's well, and if it's not actually stating an actual date, okay, we're just trying to get an idea. So, and I hope I didn't overcomplicate things with that. It's just, I thought it was interesting because it only talks about him for those 2 days, but then some of the other things that it talks about kind of gives the idea that this might be that he reigned for maybe around 4 years. So, yes, sir. Yeah, what did I say? Yes. Well, you've got Omri and Tibni together.
Okay. It never says Tibni was made king. It says people followed him. In verse 21, it says to make him king. They followed him to make him king. It never says he actually was king. And then the timeline's aligned with Omri actually being listed as king, at least according to the record. Now, so did they, like Neil said, maybe there was this contested show of power, but
right.
The timeline lines up as 27 to 38. Omri reigns 12 years. There may be a 4 year of contestation, but did Tibni actually reign, or were people trying to push him through?
Well, I'm taking verse 21 that he's reigning. The people are following, half of the people are following him, the other half are following the other guy. So that's what I am taking it as, that he is king. So it's almost as if it's split at that time. And then that's why I was using where it said the 12 years and then it says the 6 years in Tisra. I don't remember statements like this with any of the others, so I don't know if it's trying to say something. It doesn't necessarily mean that it is, but.
6 years in Samaria, right?
I believe it was Samaria, which in itself doesn't mean anything, but is there a possibility why he stayed in there some of the time? That's my point. But go ahead. Okay. 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 And that's fine. You know, because it doesn't, and it never says he wasn't. So, I mean, the idea is we've got people following these two guys, and something is split at that time. But it also says that Omri's king in these other two sections before it states that he was actually king in this time. So it's that's just something you'll have to decide on your own. It's not critical, but it's something that I just thought it was interesting. Yes, sir. Yes, we'll see that.
this, give us reason to say that's no excuse for giving up.
Right.
For joining the crowd, for not being able to have any kind of peace of mind in those kind of circumstances. We're preaching most of the time.
Yes, sir. Good point, Steve. So I'm sure y'all heard Steve. And I'm about to get buzzed. So I want to end with, let's see. We'll look at 1 Kings 16:25. It said, and Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord and acted more wickedly than all who were before him. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sins, which he made Israel sin, provoking the Lord God of Israel with their idols. Just remember this verse, this thought of what's being stated here. Because as we go on through in our other classes, we're going to see this progression, if you will. So it's already stated that, you know, how Jeroboam was. And then it said that Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord and acted more wickedly than those before him. And we're going to see in the future that similar things are going to be said. So we're going to have this progression of wickedness going on. So just keep that in mind. I'm getting buzzed. Thank y'all for your comments.